Big smiles.
Always.
Big real smiles.
Big real smiles.
Hello and welcome to Corgitown USA, a podcast for pets and their people. I am Candy. In my lap is Chuckles, our spokes Corg. We have a house full.
A house full, including a brand new. Well, he's not brand new. He's 15 and a half years old.
He's a used dog.
He's a used dog.
Pre-owned.
Pre-owned. He is
certified.
He's our foster, probably permanent foster, Indy.
Foster fail.
Well, he's not really a foster fail. He was a marriage fail, but that could be a whole episode.
Oh boy.
Yeah. We have Indy. He is our new honorary corgi. I, of course, have Digby, and I'm Catherine.
Yes. If you're new here, hi, welcome. We also have Booger and Mortimer Barnabas, members of the Corgi Committee, here bringing you all things corgi, corgi and pet parent lifestyle. We do all kinds of fun things here. Some yes. creator series where we talk about art and creations that are corgi-centric and dog-centric. We also bring a lot of information to you. So if it's information on support for pet grief, different options for taking care of your pet, training, grooming, lifestyle, traveling with your corgi. All those things are things we cover on the show. We're grateful for you to be here.
Yes.
We've recently celebrated our 100th episode.
We did. That was exciting.
So we're just going to keep rolling, rolling, rolling.
Yes, we are.
We're going to bring on a gentleman who has a little corgi named Louie. The corgis are playing the drums.
Yes.
There's a drum set in studio, and Digby is taking the ball and tossing it up on each of the drums. It's going to get a little wild here. It does sometimes.
He's very talented, my child.
Is that what it is?
It is.
He's doing his sure. His bonzo drum solo.
Yep.
Anyway, we're also good at digressing. Let's welcome Frank Gomez. He has a little corgi named Louie. We're going to tell Louie's story. Frank, welcome.
Hi, how you doing?
We're good. How are you?
Doing good. A little cold out here, but nice.
Yeah. And where are you, Frank?
Colorado.
Oh, yeah. It is cold in Colorado.
About 100 miles south of Denver.
Okay. All right. Very nice area.
Yeah. We're in Phoenix, so if it drops below 70, we freeze our behinds off.
And we are freezing our behinds off because it's also raining.
Yeah. We're not used to this. We're like, what is the Seattle weather?
Yeah.
I have a lot of friends that live here in the cold in summertime, and then come October, they jet down there to Phoenix for, till May or so. So.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of a smart way to do it.
Yes,
know?
Indeed.
Well, thank you for coming on and telling the story. I know it's a tough one. You've been through a journey. If you don't mind, please introduce yourself. I know, and tell us about your corgis. And then if you can kind of get us into Louie, tell us about Louie's condition and just kind of tell us what it is. Let's just start there.
All right. Well, basically, you know, I've got Louie, and then I've got his father, Rocket. He's about 11 years old. And he's, they're both really good dogs. And Louie, it just kind of really started really weird. He's always been really terrified of fireworks more than any dog I've ever seen. He just goes crazy. And that's kind of how everything started, was New Year's Day. They were shooting guns and everything around here. It was like World War III. So he was terrified. And I think he was just kind of running all over everything. And I guess when we were sleeping, I don't know if I thought he might have just twisted himself. When I noticed him the next day on New Year's Day, which was a Monday, I noticed that he was kind of limping, and he wasn't his normal springy corgi self, you know? So I told my wife, I don't know if he hurt himself, but the vets were all closed. So I had to wait till Tuesday to take him in to his normal vet. And, you know, that's where everything started.
And tell us his condition.
Well, according the what it ended up being, what they said is they thought he had meningitis.
Oh, wow.
Spinal meningitis. And it's kind of weird because, like I say, I took him in Tuesday, the very first day I could, to his regular vet. They did x-rays. They didn't find any separations, any broken bones. So they kind of concluded that he might have just tweaked his hind quarters a little bit. Mm-hmm. So they gave me some medication, sent me home. Over the course of the next couple of days, I didn't notice much of a improvement. If anything, it was more of a decline. until Friday, the 5th of January, where he was almost couldn't even stand up anymore. So I told my wife, this isn't getting better. I said, I need to get back to the vet. So it's kind of weird. It's kind of hard to get vet visits around here, even though it was kind of an emergency when I took him in that Tuesday. His normal vet, the guy with all the experience, a gentleman by the name of Dr. Smith, he's a real senior vet there. I got one of the guys who maybe didn't have Mr. Smith's experience when he did the x-ray. So he was the one who concluded that, you know, he might have just tweaked his hind quarter. Well, that Friday, I took him back to his normal, to his vet to, you know, ask him what's going on. He's not getting better. So the doctor, the one I'm talking about, Dr. Smith, was there, and he started looking over his x-rays again. And he tells me, well, I think he has a spinal condition. And I thought, okay, so he said, well, we don't have a specialist here. You need to go to a town about 45 miles north called Colorado Springs. So they sent me to this place. And so I drive up there, and this is already about 5:30, 6 o'clock on that Friday, the 5th. And I get up there. We get checked in. They couldn't really... They didn't have a specialist there either, basically. So they told me, well, you need to go up to Denver, which Parker, Colorado is basically Denver. It's a suburb of it. So we drive up there, and by that time it's already 8:30.
Oh my gosh.
This vet had already sent the information up there. So when they got up there, they told me, well, we need to do an MRI. We need to, you know, I kind of told them what his vet had thought it was. Well, she said, well, if that's the case, we need to do the MRI Saturday morning. And if it is, we want to do surgery on him right away. So I'm like, okay. So the next thing was, well, we need you to give us a $12,000 deposit.
Oh my gosh.
That's what they asked me. So I kind of figured, you know, I've been down this road a few times before. So when I left here, I took roughly $6,000 in cash with me. And, when they told me that's what they needed, I gave them the $6,000 and told them I'd get the rest in my account in the morning, get it up to them first thing Saturday morning. So they were fine with that. So Saturday morning come around, they did an, MRI on him. And then, the specialist, neurologist, which is amazing to me that this place, it's a place called Animal Emergency and Specialty Center. And, you know, they have just almost like people doctors on staff there for the animals.
Wow.
And he had this really, really nice doctor. And she called me and she told me, well, we don't think it's his spine. His spinal cord is swollen. And we think he might have meningitis. And I'm like, well, how in the heck do they get that? And they said it could be either a fungal, bacterial, or it could be an autoimmune, you know, where his own body's attacking his spinal cord. So that's kind of, she said, we need you to give us permission to do a spinal tap on him.
Oh my gosh.
So they went, I gave them their permission to do that. They did that. And, he was up there for a couple days, and then come Monday, Tuesday, we had to go up there to pick him up, and he was doing a lot better. He was still a little bit, you know, kind of freaking out over. He'd never been away from us. And he's like all corgis. He's just a love bug, but he's this one, especially. He's just a lovable little guy. So when we got him back, you know, she told us, well, we're still waiting on the results of the spinal tap. So they gave him some medication. We brought him home. And then a week later, we took him back up there, you know, and he was when I basically took him there, he was almost paralyzed. He couldn't barely stand up. He couldn't walk. And that's why we were terrified. But, you know, with the meds they gave him, 5 days later, he was walking. And when we took him back, the specialist was real. She was so amazed. She goes, oh my God, he looks so good. He wasn't walking. He was basically paralyzed when he came in here. So we basically got an appointment coming up a week from this Monday on the 19th back up there with her to kind of go over his progress. But He was on a painkiller, which right away he went off of that. He didn't have to, which was, I thought it was, he was on gabapentin, and I'm yep. glad he was able to tolerate. He tolerates everything now, and he hasn't taken it for 3 weeks, which is really good. But they got him on a steroid and a couple other little pills. He was on an antibiotic, but now he's down to just three a day now. And he's, I'll be honest with you, it's like, it's almost like he's a new dog. Like he's back to his old ways. The little things he used to do all the time, he used to, he's back to doing, you know.
Oh, yay.
With his toys and, you know, just the way it's amazing. And it's what's really amazing to me is being on Corgiholics. I like to give a shout out to those people there. I mean, there are some wonderful people there who, one of the ladies, there was a lady in Australia who reached out to me through Corgiholics who had an eerily similar experience with her dog Nacho. I mean, almost down to the exact same thing, diagnosis, treatment, everything. And now he's totally fine. He's totally recovered. So, you know, we're kind of hoping that that's going to be Louis's, you know, path. But he's, as of right now, he's doing so, so good. But it's so neat to have somebody who's gone through everything we've gone through, you know, who can kind of tell you, you know, what to watch out for. She's like, you know, she said, I know he's going to, those meds are going to make him seem like his old self, which he will be, but you need to take it easy with him. Oh, my dog's heard your dog bark.
That happens.
Yeah, this is the Corgi Town podcast. Corgis run the town. So occasionally we have borks, we lose equipment, that we get cameras knocked over, mics knocked out. We just plug back in and keep going.
The one you're hearing is Rocket. That's the dad. He's right at the character. But anyway, so we're hoping for a good report, you know, going back. And, you know, I mean, he's doing really, really, really well. I mean, really, really amazing.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that he's doing better. That's great news. I do want to ask, so what's the next course of treatment? I know you're going in soon. By the time we air this, you probably would have had an update. And for those listening not aware, Corgiaholics is a Facebook page for corgi enthusiasts. And I wanted to find out, so do you know what the next course of treatment is? And does it sound like they think this was meningitis?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, they never really told me it was 100% meningitis, you know, and I'll be honest with you, in my own heart of hearts, I have my own concerns. I mean, because I know my dogs, just like you know yours. I mean, they're my babies. I know when they're happy, I know when they're sad, and my dogs are very active. I mean, I get up every morning religiously, every day, 5:30, and I walk these dogs a mile and a half. We have a beautiful river walk here, and you know, we run into people every morning. They're used to me. They love my dogs. You know, these dogs are active. I'm an active guy. I make sure they're always going. So when this all happened, I mean, it was like out of nowhere. It wasn't like, you know, I noticed him doing this or doing that. It was like, boom, one day it was like, I just noticed him limping and I'm like, what the heck's wrong with this guy? He's a firecracker. I mean, he goes a million miles a minute, you know? So when this happened, it was kind of like, what the heck's going on? So I never in my wildest dreams thought of this, you know what I mean? And honestly, I don't know. I'm having a hard time convincing myself that he didn't really just maybe tweak himself, or maybe, I don't know. It just, it's so weird because to me, I just don't see how something just happens so automatic, you know? Usually it's a build up or a lead up to something, you know, and it was never that. The thing that every year, the 4th of July and New Year's are the two worst days in the world because he goes insane with the fireworks. I mean, he'll literally, he goes crazy because of the fireworks. I mean, his whole little body just shakes, and I just can't help but think that night where, you know, when we were all sleeping, and they were shooting off guns and fireworks well past 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, and it was like, I honestly thought, well, that makes sense. He hurt himself. He tweaked his back, you know, because he's such a, a firecracker. I thought he might have just tweaked himself. And, you know, when I never in my wildest dreams thought meningitis, you know what I mean? So,
well, and let's talk about this for just a second. So we've had, I want to bring this up. Please remind me. So you said you saw the neurologist, you went to this clinic and they did the x-rays. Did they have a radiologist look at the x-rays?
You know, I don't know. Honestly don't know.
Typically, if you go to the vet, depending upon the injury, right. It does depend upon the injury and what the vet can see from the x-rays. Typically, if you get an x-ray, the vet's going to look it over and ascertain if a radiologist needs to look it over so that they can also get right. their eye on it. Again, depends on the injury, the severity, sure. what the vet may think. So they use all those things. So that's typically what happens. And you said you did not have to do the MRI? Are they
No, they did the MRI. That was the very first thing they did, and that's when she determined it wasn't his spine, a disc right. problem. That's when she noticed around the base of his tail, his spinal cord was swollen.
Right. So in an X-ray, X-rays will only see the bones, mm-hmm. and so in an X-ray, and they can determine if there's a slipped disc or something like that from the x-ray and the position of the bones, that's when you need the MRI to get the soft tissue. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the determination of a swollen spinal cord would come in, is from the MRI. Now, I know nothing. I don't know, you know,
I know a little bit because I had Hammer, who had degenerative myelopathy.
Right.
Typically, if you have dogs with spinal injuries, you need to see a neurologist. Bottom line. So good job, Frank. You definitely, you know, chased it up and said he really needs care. You championed for him. You advocated for him. But the reason why I want to, aside from, you know, hearing your story, helping us look for things and kind of determine the scenario that you have explained, we had just last season, we had Newton.
Yes.
Newton's mom. Newton's doing very well, but Newton actually had IVDD, which is intervertebral disc disease. And to what you were saying about the expensive cost of veterinary care, they can do surgery for IVDD. So let's talk a little bit about DM versus IVDD versus a potential spinal injury or
meningitis.
Or meningitis, yeah. So this is kind of help us sort of educate and delineate. If your corgi, your dog, has a limp, obviously, vet is the first step because so many things can cause a limp. It can be a soft tissue injury, something like a torn ACL or something that's just tweaked. And then with bed rest, they get better.
Exactly. Or it could be, you know, as Frank said, when they get all stressed out because of the fireworks.
I'm getting to that. Yeah. So it could be soft tissue injury. It could be something more insidious than that. Hopefully not. But that's, you know, vet is the good first step. With things like IVDD, which is sort of a blanket term for intervertebral disc disease, there are genetic components. From what I've learned from talking to others, IVDD, we really cannot escape the risk being low dog enthusiast because the same dwarfism genes are the same genes that determine IVDD risk. You've got short legs, long backs, that's primarily in corgis, doxies, yep. all these kind of short, long, low dog disease. However, there are genetic markers where if they have one copy versus two copies, they're at higher risk. And we kind of learned a little bit of that with Newton as well.
Right.
If it is indeed IVDD, which again, blanket term, if you have any kind of disc disease, intervertebral disc disease, they can operate on it. From what we learned is it's 50-50 that they'll walk again if they get the surgery, but it's almost impossible if you don't treat it right away. So I just want to bring that up again and kind of throw us back to the Newton episode that we did on IVDD. And we've also had a couple of vets on talking about IVDD. It's a very timely care. And the quicker you can get to a neurologist, if they determined to do an MRI, time is muscle on that.
Yes.
And it is. It's thousands of dollars. You know, having insurance helps. And then, of course, the GoFundMes help. You know, within the corgi community, we care about our own. And so we try to help. But just, I want to talk about that. So IVDD versus DM versus something else. And DM is degenerative. And there's not a definitive diagnosis. No. Excuse me. But it is very gradual. But it's gradual, not in the sense of, oh, it's going to take a while. It's in the sense of you might have a symptom and then the next day you have a new symptom and then you don't see anything for 2 weeks. It degenerates on its own clock, but it typically doesn't show up with a limp one day. It could be that they have a change in gait and you've noticed it over time.
Yes.
Keeps going up the spine. The only definitive diagnosis they can do is off of a necropsy after the dog passes, which is expensive and hard, and et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of those diagnoses are made from presentation of symptoms and then genetic risk. So that's a different thing than IVDD, whereas IVDD, it depends on the severity.
Right.
We know our friend Bebo. Our friend Bebo has IVDD and he has flare-ups. And thankfully, he has not needed the surgery. Hopefully, he never will. But he will flare up where he's limping and he's very uncomfortable and he has to be on crate rest. And he has to be medicated. And then once he heals, he can get out being a crazy corgi like Digby is right now.
Yep.
You know, and then kind of go back and forth. And so with this is why I want to talk about this with you, Frank, is this is very... This is unique, right? It's a little bit different from...
It's very different from anything that we've seen before. And I'm trying to think back. I remember when I was in like grade school and high school, we had some outbreaks of meningitis.
Oh, that was viral though.
That was viral meningitis. Yeah.
I remember I had to get a shot for it for college.
Yep. Yep. I had to get a shot for it as well for college. And I know some people who had it. There's all kinds of meningitis. And so I don't know how they all present.
Right. But Frank, thank you for sharing that story. I mean, that's kind of tells us, you know, again, that your trajectory, what you did, you had to drive across town. It was cold. You had bad weather. You had all these things, but you were very quick to get him care. And I have learned, I mean, and our doggy chiropractors, we need to find one and bring them on the show. But they do, you have a lot of nerves that are in and around your spine that also determine other things. So that actually makes a lot of sense that he could have tweaked himself being stressed out, just like when we're in a really stressful situation and the next day we're sore or something hurts because we're holding our body in such a way that we've tweaked the nerve, right?
Yeah. And they did a spinal tap then?
They did the MRI because she thought, when I told her that the vet thought it might be a disc problem, she said, well, if it is, we'll go ahead and do the surgery right away. So that she was under that assumption. But once she did the MRI, she realized that that wasn't it. She noticed that his disc was fine. His spinal cord around the base of his tail was more inflamed than anything else. That's where they came up with the meningitis theory.
Wow.
Yeah. Gosh. Well, the good news though, is that it sounds like it's highly recoverable.
It sounds, you know, and I'll be honest with you, like I say, he's like his old self. I mean, you know how they are. They all have their little intricacies or their little things that they always do. And, you know, like the old one, Rocket, he comes in and he runs around like he's on fire. And you know what I mean? And he's a big boy. He's probably a little bit bigger than Louie. And Louie's just the most playful little guy. He has a couple ropes. And, you know, when we first got him back the first couple of weeks, he was just kind of, I think, getting used to getting everything, getting back to normal. And now, like I say, he's back. The first thing he wants to do is go get a rope for you to come and play with you. You know what I mean? He wants you to play with him. So he's almost, he seems like he's just, you know, his old normal self. And it's, I feel really good about where I'm at. And a lot of it has to do with the lady from Australia, because it's so weird. It's eerily similar. The path she went down with her corgi Nacho and what happened to Louie, you know. But, you know, honestly, in my heart of hearts, it's hard for me to believe that something can go from just like one extreme to the next. I mean, like I say, and I watch my dogs all the time. I think I would have noticed any little thing with him, because I walk him a mile and a half every day. They're such creatures of habit. You know what I mean? Yeah. They'll, after we walk, they'll come home, they'll eat breakfast, and they'll just lounge around all day. You know, I know how they are. Just to me, I just had a hard time. I guess if it's meningitis, it is. And he's been on the meds, and hopefully that'll resolve itself. You know, I guess I would have felt a lot more convinced with the meningitis theory if I would have noticed something, you know, kind of, I guess, kind of building up, you know what I mean?
Right.
Or saw certain things to say, well, no, he's never done that before. Why is he doing that? It was never like that. It was just like that. We had a great walk that Sunday, the 31st of January, like we normally do. We had a great day. And it just, once those fireworks started, I mean, this guy was like bouncing off the walls, literally. So I figured, you know, oh, maybe he did just tweak himself. It made perfect sense when I took him to the vet, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
Well, and that's, when you think about, I mean, meningitis essentially means swelling.
Swelling, yeah.
And swelling can come up very suddenly.
That's true.
So if you think of it in those terms, I mean, they were able to diagnose because they could see the swelling.
That's right.
And again, it's their spines, they govern so many things, from the motility of their digestion to their breathing rate. Again, and most of this I've learned from having a dog with degenerative myelopathy.
Our spines, I mean, I know from when I was a massage therapist, it governs absolutely everything. Mm-hmm. I would contribute maybe some of the faster swelling, and I'm not a doctor, and I would love to have some veterinarians put some ideas or thoughts in the comments. Stress does cause inflammation. We all know that in humans and dogs, stress
oxidative
causes,
stress.
Yeah, oxidative. So stress causes inflammation, and you know, can cause inflammation quickly. It might have hurried the meningitis along. It might have done all kinds of things, but I think really the point is observe, get treatment, and follow through. Those are observe, get treatment, and follow through.
And it's my hope that once Louis comes off of the steroids, that he will still be nice and peppy. That's always my worry when they're on steroids, because it does such a great job of lowering that inflammation so that they do feel better. But you want them to actually heal and not push too far, right? That's always been the thing.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, we'll be staying tuned for Louis' story and how he does with his follow-up.
Absolutely. And Frank, let us know if if they tested the spinal tap or whatever. We like to know more. We're curious, and I'm so grateful to, you know, all of the different corgi groups out there, the sharing of information, because then you feel like you're not alone. And when you feel like you're not alone, you know,
it's not as scary.
It's not as scary. Something can be done. And the community is so helpful. And the fact that this woman in Australia was able to say, oh yes, don't worry, he'll get better.
Yeah.
So that's wonderful.
But that also sounds like it might be more common than we know too.
Yeah.
So it gives us something to look out for.
Yeah. I think we want to have our vet back on and talk about meningitis. Again, like you said, when you went to college, when I went to college, we had to get shots, human meningitis, all the different kinds of meningitis.
Since the vet told you, Frank, that it could be bacterial or something like that too.
Yeah, right.
Sure. Well, you know, like you say, I got to trust that they know what they're doing. And I'll be honest with you, from the day I took him in there, I had my doubts. I didn't know what was going on, and I'll be honest with you, I was terrified. But that the care he got at that the Animal Emergency and Specialty Center, I couldn't be more satisfied. Those people were so great with him, and I mean, I'm looking at him right now, and he's like a new dog. And I know a lot of it's because of this, you know, this the steroids make them think they're back to normal. But I mean, it just, I couldn't thank those people enough. And it's kind of one of the things about, like you mentioned, the GoFundMes, which was, and I never even considered it, but somebody on that Corgiholics website started a GoFundMe, and geez, in 2 days they raised like $2,800 that they sent to me, which is amazing. You know what I mean? It just, I couldn't believe it. I was like, it ended, you know, when it was all said and done, my final bill was a little over $9,300 is what I was out. But, you know, I had $2,800 come back to me. So, and it wasn't even really the money. It's just, you know how it is. You just feel helpless, and you just kind of feel like you got to do whatever it is you can possibly do for them, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's a wonderful community. We all understand how much we love and care for these little dogs. So when one of our own is down, we can't help but have our own bleeding hearts.
Exactly.
Oh, so I can't tell you how many times I've just felt so bad for somebody on there just because I know how they feel. You know what I mean? And I think having a group like that can sympathize with you and empathize with you and, you know, pick you up, you're not feeling good. It's worth its weight in gold for sure.
It's a wonderful community. Well, Frank, we're going to let you enjoy the rest of your evening. Thank you for sharing Louie's story and introducing us to Louie and Rocket. If you're listening to this broadcast, you can go over to YouTube, and I believe it's Rocket there with you on screen. Is that correct?
Yeah, this is the OG Rocket right here.
Well, it's nice to meet both of you. Thank you so much for sharing your story, and we hope you have a great rest of your evening, and we'll be looking out for Louie's update.
Yes, thank you.
I will have a great day, ladies. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Oh, I'm glad he's doing well.
I'm glad he's doing well, too. And it's scary.
It's terrifying.
It is. Yeah, it's very terrifying.
I can't handle it.
No. knowing that something can be done. I know one of the meningitises is communicable. Meningitises?
Is that it? Meningitises? Yeah. Meningitis?
Meningitis?
Sounds
I don't
like
know.
A Greek god.
Meningitis? Yeah. No, not a Greek god. One of them is communicable. So,
well, there's viral meningitis, but I don't know about with dogs if there's that. But I think the takeaway of this one, although it's scary,
yes,
treatment and diagnosis, that's all expensive. But I like that that it's not as scary as it could be. Doesn't necessarily mean that your dog has DM or IVDD or something
right
that's potentially fatal or you have to make a decision. It could just be something that does need treatment. And yes, I think this is kind of like what to offer there, so we can know what to look out, know what questions to ask the vet, what kind of vet to go see, when to see a neurologist, all those types of things.
All of those things, right? Because it is scary. And I'd like our vet listeners to maybe weigh in on the different types of meningitis, what we can do, and which ones are communicable. We are in the middle of, although it's getting much better, that cough.
The canine virus.
So that's scary. So if we can find out more, we can let our listeners know. So thank you so much for listening, and we hope we've given you some more information.
Put your paws together for Louie.
Yay,
yeah. Louie. All right. Well, we'll see you next week. We're here every Thursday. All things Corgi, Candy, Chuckles, Mortimer, Booger,
Catherine, Digby, and Indy.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.